Hello guys, welcome to the Sleon Productions podcast, where we interview business entrepreneurs, tech influencers, or anyone in business that want to strive and hustle and just succeed and make it big. Today, we have a special guest. He started a cookie company, and he'll explain it, what it's all about. We got Adam August. Welcome to the Sleon Productions podcast.
Thank you, Santu. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
So, Adam, I found you guys on Instagram. We interviewed Max last year at the Sleon Productions podcast, and I followed Max ever since, about almost a year ago. And he partnered with you and your friend to start a cookie company.
Yes.
Can you explain how it happened?
Yeah, like you want the whole, there's the story of how we got to know each other.
Let's go from the beginning when that Instagram post about you and you, like how you left your job and everything.
Yeah, so November 1st, 2018, I was in San Francisco working for a tech company. I was let go, which was very surprising to me at the time. And I remember having a conversation with myself. Maybe a day or two after, right? You let that shock kind of get through the emotions. I remember having a conversation with myself about, you know, I could use this could either be a pivotal moment in my life, or I can kind of continue going down the same path that I've been going down, you know, find another job, work for someone else. I know I've always wanted to have my own business. And for whatever reason, this is the part that I maybe can't explain yet, but for whatever reason, in that moment, at this time in my life, I just felt ready, like I was ready to take that leap. So I think it was November 7th, I sat down with my mom, told her I was gonna open up a cookie company. You can imagine what her reaction was, although she was very supportive, but still a little, you know, unsure of what that meant. I think I was unsure of what that meant too at the time. 3 days after that, I texted Nick, who's now one of my business partners. He's living out here, asking if he wanted to do this with me. Immediately said yes, and pretty much from that moment, I think the next day, I was calling around different spaces in Fort Lauderdale. He was going to go meet with the landlords, and we were looking for a space like that next day. And we progressed. We found a space actually just down the street. We started talking to the landlord there. Met my architect and general contractor Jason Schlansky of Skywork Development through that, who played a key pivotal role in all this. And kind of one thing just led to another. Eventually, you know, Nick and I realized, okay, shoot, neither of us know how to bake. We kind of need someone who can bake some cookies for us. You know, let me start putting my efforts into finding a baker. So I went on LinkedIn. I kind of created a profile of who I was looking for in my head, you know, certain years of experience, you know, work maybe in certain restaurants or hotels, crafted a cold message, you know, personalizing them a little bit. And I came across Max's profile. And I'm not from here, right? I don't know what Salty Donut is. I don't, you know, I know Max is well known down here, but I didn't know really who he was. But I wrote him just a short message about, I'd seen what he'd accomplished there and would he be open to meeting with me. And sure enough, Max responded. And one thing, you know, you'll learn about Max is he's very open to opportunities to meet and talk with everybody, which is something I admire about him. But that led to us meeting. We actually met for the first time at Night Owl Cookies at FIU. And we hit it off. I think we spent maybe 3 or 4 hours together just talking life, business, getting to know each other. I think, and maybe we met another time, and by the third time we had met, you know, Nick and myself pitched him about wanting to be our third partner. And Max pretty much was in from day one, which was huge for us because now we have someone who can bake cookies. And what Nick and I will later find out is Max is so much more than that, and his skills are so much more than just a pastry chef. but it really, I mean, I couldn't have handpicked a better partner and someone more talented than Max. So I mean, throughout this whole process, it's been funny to see how things kind of just work themselves out. You continue to just put one foot in front of the other, believe in yourself, stay positive. Things tend to work out.
How'd you meet Nick?
Yeah, funny story. So I actually lived here in 2013 to 2015. I originally moved down here to work with the Miami Dolphins in sales. And a buddy of mine at the Dolphins also knew Nick, and he was telling me about this new gym that his buddy just opened up, his buddy being Nick, and would I be interested in going with him? And so I went with him. I got to meet Nick, and then Nick's partner at the time was this guy named Mike Rafferty. And I loved what they were doing. I loved their energy here. Two young guys, you know, I think Nick was maybe 25 at the time. Mike was even younger, starting their own business. It was really cool, and it was something that I wanted to be part of. So when I was actually let go by the Dolphins, a theme in my career, I've actually been fired from every job I've ever had except for one. My dad will kill me for saying that, but it's the truth. I just kept showing up at Elevate until they pretty much hired me. I was running their operations for a little bit, but that's how I got to know Nick, became really good friends with Nick, eventually became roommates with Nick, and I knew once I realized I wasn't going to do this in San Francisco, which was pretty quickly after I decided I wasn't going to do this, Nick was the very first person that came to mind as the perfect business partner to do this with. One of the main reasons is Nick is loved by a lot of people in this area. He's born and raised down here, and a ton of people know him. He knows a ton of people. He has just that support that's very special. I thought that would be very important in the early stages of a business to help kind of catapult us. And that's been the case.
Yeah, you're right, because I noticed Nick on his profile that he knew a couple of my friends.
Yes.
And I was like, I don't know Nick.
Yes.
You know, so I got to know him, and I did some research on him. He played football down here,
yep.
Played college football. So, yep. I mean, I'm into sports, so that kind of like, it's very inspirational.
Yes.
So why did you choose to start a cookie company? Why cookies? What was the like that moment like? Or?
Yeah, no, it's a good question, Santiago. I don't have that story of like, you know, I grew up wanting to be a baker, right? As I told you, I can't even bake at all. I like cookies. I like to eat cookies. And when I don't know. I just, for whatever reason, I just landed on, let's open up a cookie shop. And then I did a little bit of research. I learned about Insomnia Cookies, started in 2002 by a University of Pennsylvania business student, grew it to like 150 locations, recently sold to Krispy Kreme for like at a valuation of about a $500 million. So the business mind in me, and again, that's my passion. Business is my passion, not necessarily cookies. It kind of clicked for me as like, okay, it's a business that scales. It's a relatively simple business, right? We're making cookies. There's not a lot of moving pieces like there are in other businesses. It's something that other businesses will acquire down the road if you can grow. And that was kind of it. And now also, one of the things that I love about this business is it's a happy business. People seeing the reactions of people coming into the store, just huge smiles, the reactions of when people take their first bite of Max's chocolate chip cookie or, you know, the peanut butter and jelly. It's a fun place to work. And I think that's really cool because there's a lot of businesses out there where you just don't get that energy.
Which is why your sign makes a lot of sense.
Like, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Your concept and everything. Wow. You know, it's interesting you say that because obviously, like, there's just trends in foods that happen every so often, every couple of years. You know, first it was like the donuts.
Yes.
Now I've been seeing like the whole trend with cookies. I've
yes.
seen on Instagram new cookie shops in New York, now South Florida with Batch. Like, why now with cookies? Is there a reason? Is there something that just...
Well, I mean, I think you did. You hit it on the head. 5 years ago, you look at, there was that cupcake craze, yeah. Yeah. Right? I think that kind of kicked it off. Then the donut thing followed after that. And now I think we're just coming into this wave of cookie shops. I have no idea as to why, other than, you know, millennials love experiences. I mean, maybe we're helping drive that. Yeah. But I think what's interesting is, and I've done this, you know, you poll 100 people, would you prefer a, you know, delicious warm baked, fresh baked cookie, or would you prefer ice cream? It's about a 50-50 split, but let's just say it's 60-40, more people like ice cream than cookies. But you go to most cities and you look around, Fort Lauderdale being one of them, you have 3 ice cream places on Las Olas. You know, you have, you know, within 5 miles of here, you probably have a total of 5 to 6 ice cream shops, but no place that just does cookies. So I think there's market potential, market opportunity for cookie shops like ours to come into a market like this and thrive. And that's not to say that I think a city like Fort Lauderdale could support multiple cookie shops, just like it supports multiple ice cream shops. But as to why, where is this wave of cookies coming from? I don't know if I.
Yeah, which I love the concept, because, you know, back in when I was a kid, you would go to the mall and go to like Miss Granny's, the cookie shop at the mall,
or Miss Fields.
Yeah, Miss Fields. It's called Miss Fields. And you know, they were plain and simple.
Yes.
But these cookies are different.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about your menu?
Yeah. So I mean, look, when it comes to any of our cookies, that's all Max, right? I'm a big believer in understanding what you're good at, knowing what you're not good at, and then surrounding yourself with people who are good at the things that you're not. But the baking is something I know nothing about. I'm not good at it. I'm not creative. And we are very fortunate that we happen to have one of the most creative, one of the most skilled pastry chefs in all of Florida. So what I can tell you about our menu is we have to do the classics the right way, right? I think you have to do the foundation right. So that's why our chocolate chip, we spent a lot of time developing that. We have, you know, they've called the classic funfetti, the apple and oats with a little bit of twist with the freshly cut apples. But what Max is doing that's special and unique, and you know, a testament to him, is every Thursday we announce a new cookie for the weekend, and Max executes on that. And literally, there is no testing, there is no development. He's basically starting to develop it on Thursday, and by Saturday he bakes the first batch. And I mean, we've had, I think the first one he did was a peaches and cream, which was phenomenal. He did a matcha mango, macadamia and passion fruit, which was vegan and gluten free, which amazing. Most recently, this past weekend, he had a sweet potato casserole with toasted marshmallow and pecan streusel, and
which I bet no one has ever come up with that.
No, and again, like that's what makes Max special, is that he can take these things that maybe aren't traditionally cookie things, mm-hmm. and turn them into a delicious cookie. And it's allowing us to be different, right? Because we're coming up with these really cool concepts. Whether, you know, we have Thanksgiving right around the corner, we had you know, with Halloween coming up, we had the pumpkin one. So it's just
only things get interesting.
Exactly.
In the next couple
weeks. And I mean, he really could probably come up with a new recipe every day for an entire year and not repeat it once. So
yeah, like when we did the interview with Max last year, he was so innovative.
Yes.
I mean, like what he's done in the past, you know, with his other stuff he's done, he just show it that the guy has a lot of spirit and he's willing. I don't meet many chefs, you know, every time, but when I met Max, he was very down to earth. And yes. Like you were saying, when you message him, you think you have to wait a day. No, he was like right there. Right,
yep. Very responsive.
I have no idea what's his philosophy, but it's working.
Yes, exactly.
Can you tell us about this area? I believe it's called The Hive.
Yes.
Why this area? What makes it special? And why'd you put it here?
Yeah, great question. So, we're in The Hive, which is in Mass District, which is in Flagler Village. It's a really up-and-coming area in Fort Lauderdale. I lived right around the street from here in 2013 to 2015, so I was familiar with the area. And that was just the beginnings of like the Fort Lauderdale Art Walk. I think it's the first Friday of the month where they do the yeah. food trucks down on, I don't know what street that is, maybe like 6th Street or 7th yeah. Street. So even back then you could see what was starting to happen here. And when Nick and I said, let's do this, it was pretty much either here, Las Olas, or down by like where, you know, Briney's and Capone's, wow. and those were kind of the three areas. Las Olas is too expensive. And for whatever, we had more traction in this area. And again, one of the, you know, like I mentioned earlier, just things kind of happen for a reason. I don't think we could have picked a better location.
Yeah, I was here a couple of weeks ago for the art walk.
For the art walk, yeah.
And I saw crowds of people,
yeah.
and your shop was one of the busiest. There was lines, there was culture.
Yes.
It feels like this could potentially be like the next Wynwood.
Yes.
You know, has a lot of that potential. And it's funny because I used to go to a concert here at this record store. So there's a lot of life here.
Yes.
You know, and which is still new and everything. What businesses and that you researched in the past that you kind of liked and you took it? A piece of that to this business that you really like, Apple or like Google or like another restaurant that you really liked, and let me implement like those fundamentals into Batch.
Oh, that's a tough question. I don't know if I have like specific businesses that, I mean, I listen to a lot of podcasts, I watch a lot of documentaries. I'm a big fan of, and I'm forgetting his name because I'm on camera and you get nervous. And,
it happens.
Tony Hirsch, founder of Zappos.
Yeah, very good story.
Big fan of his, and I think it's ironic. This is a guy who founded the largest shoe company in the world, yet the guy has two pairs of shoes. And he has zero interest in shoes. He built his company around his employees and company culture. Those are two aspects that I've taken from him. I'm a big believer in taking care of your employees first. You know, having open lines of communication. Leaders are here to serve employees, not a top-down approach. Mm-hmm. Creating an environment that they feel empowered to help solve the daily challenges that happen in a business. Right? A lot of the answers don't come from, or shouldn't come from, you know, the quote unquote the CEO or the CMO or the executives, right? They should come from the people that are in it every day. Mm-hmm. And if you create an environment where they feel empowered to provide answers and you give them a platform to do that, I think that a lot of things can be solved. So that's one thing that I've taken from him. But yeah, I mean, that's...
Just to rephrase, maybe like more like influencers with like the guy from Zappos is
yes.
probably one of them. We were talking about it a couple of weeks ago about how everything, how Chef Max scales everything really nicely, you know, and that always like those talks about systems to make a business functional. Can you tell us your system? What's like, how much staff do you have? How many chefs, cooks, to make all this possible?
Yeah, so that's been something that we're figuring out as we're going. Right, we're only about a month and a half into this. I'm of an operational mind, like that's kind of how I think, and I know that we're all on the same page, that we're building this to scale, right? This isn't like we're creating one cookie shop and then we're gonna, you know, 2 years from now we're like, oh my God, guys, this is working, let's open up a second one. Mm. You know, we're going into this knowing that within 18 months we wanna have a second one open, and within 30 months we wanna have a third one open, and we wanna do that organically off a net operating income, right? So if that's our goal, what are the things that we have to have in place to do that? Things like having a prep schedule, knowing what doughs need to be made, how much of each dough need to be made, when does it need to be scooped, and those answers come from which cookies are selling, the numbers of each cookie that are selling, when are we selling them. So really understanding your numbers is something that I hammer home daily. I'm very open with our staff, talking to them, because I want them to learn.
Right.
I would love in 10 years from now that all of our employees go on to start their own businesses. Like that's just a personal goal of mine.
That's awesome.
That's like a passion that I have, and I think the best way to do that is being an open book and sharing these things with employees. So it's implementing those systems. Also understanding that, I think this is a big thing, the first time you come out with something, it's not gonna be perfect. Right, but you got to start somewhere, and then once you start there, you learn, okay, this is working, let's continue using this we need to change, so now we tweak it and now we come up with something else, right? We iterate on that. Mm-hmm. And now we have the second iteration of something, right?
Yeah.
And then we learn a little bit from that, then you come up with a third one, right? That's what we're doing right now. There's some things that we've tried just aren't working, so we scrap it and we revamp it. Mm-hmm. But I think that it's important to, because sometimes we're scared to even put something out there because we think it needs to be perfect and, you know, have everything, your T's crossed and your I's dotted right away. And in my opinion, that's the wrong approach to take.
So far, you know, being a year in from your first concept idea to get it going, What you know now that you didn't know back then, that you will tell your old self, you know, you had a time machine, hey, Augie's, do this, but don't do that. What would you tell yourself?
To be honest with you, and like, I don't like that I'm gonna answer this question this way, but I don't think anything.
That's good.
And that's not to say that everything I've done or that we've mm-hmm. done is yeah. been perfect, because it hasn't been. Mm-hmm. But this whole time I've had the mindset of everything I'm doing is for the first time, right? This was my very first business, the first time in food. It was the first time I was going through construction. It was the first time I was negotiating a lease. It was the first time. Literally everything was the first time. Mm-hmm. And I always have had the mindset of I'm learning, and the second time I do it, I'll be a little bit better, and the third time I do it, I'll be a little bit better. There isn't anything really that I would say.
No regrets.
No That's regrets, good. Man. It's been awesome. I've been super lucky with a lot of the people I've met. Like, you know, my broker, Lauren McGee, who's really the one who picked this space for us. I was so close to signing a lease somewhere else, and then I saw her name on a building, and I just, for whatever reason,
That's awesome.
Picked up the phone and called her. And she was the one who found, I mean, so she's been an incredible part of this. Like I said, Jason, yeah. You know, you hear so many horror stories of construction and, you know, working with shiesty people. Jason is as down to earth, humble, willing to teach as you can find. Another person, Dylan Laggy, who I hired as a consultant to help me with permitting and CRA. And so there's been a lot of people, like, it's not all me by any means. There's a lot of people that I've gotten around me that have helped us get to where we are today.
Of course, you guys are only a couple weeks in. What future plans do you have for Batch that you want to implement in the next year or maybe a couple years?
Yeah, I mean, like I mentioned, our grand goal is, you know, within 18 months, we'd love to have a second location. And then within, I think, within 30 months from when we opened, we'd like to have three locations. The goal is to do that off of net operating income. We don't want to take on any other investors. We really want to grow and scale this the right way. You know, the three of us get to keep more of our company, right? Because when you go to raise money, you all get diluted. The earlier you do that, the more you get diluted. So I think that's kind of our immediate goals. But I mean, right now, I'm beyond thrilled with what we've accomplished in such a short period of time. The staff that we have an incredible team that embodies just kindness and friendliness, and they do an incredible job building relationships with our customers. So I think it's important to have long-term goals, but also, you know, to take a step back and appreciate where you've come from.
How has technology helped you guys?
How has technology helped us? Well, I mean, I've grown up with technology, so I can't really speak on to what it's like without technology, to be honest with you. Being able to pull up reports, you know, on our sales, on our labor, you know, QuickBooks, like things like that, just make operating a business a lot easier. Nick handles all the social media, so I can't really speak to too much on how it's helped him. But you can't operate a business in today's world without technology.
Will you guys be doing Uber Eats in the future?
Yeah, so right now we will not be working with Uber Eats. Uber Eats takes 30%, which I think is a crime for a small business.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It's a lot. We're speaking with two different companies, Delivery Dudes and DoorDash, about a possible partnership. The plan is we want to be exclusive with one of them, and we are looking to roll that out in early November.
Yeah, because we were talking about like the whole concept in delivering, how many millennials like to not go to shops, but like the items come to them, like food or Amazon things. So it's something that we were talking about. And I was wondering if you're going to implement that.
100%.
If a person right now listens to this podcast that's thinking about opening up a restaurant or a shop like this, what advice would you tell them?
The first is if you commit to it. And seriously commit to it. I'd never done any of this before, but I told myself we were gonna do it, and it's just one day after another. You take one step forward, you learn a little bit, you ask some more questions. I reached out to a lot of people who didn't know me, I didn't know them. Maybe I found them on LinkedIn, maybe I found them on Instagram, or it was a friend of a friend, just to sit down and pick their brains. That's something I always recommend of people. If you think you want to do something, go talk to somebody who's done it or is doing it. Go buy them lunch, right? And you'll find, are you drawn to that, right? If you ask a few questions, does it get you excited? And maybe you find out, you know what, maybe that's not what I want to do. There is no playbook for this, right? Everybody has to find their own way. It's a lot of self-belief, I think, is a key piece to it.
Yeah, keep at it. Like you were saying, commitment. I think a lot of people, want to do it part-time, or they want, but you got to have full commitment. You got to go full head and talk to people. You're right. Talk to your friends.
Yes.
Talk to consultants. Don't be afraid. Buy their lunch at least.
Yes.
And that's something that, ask questions.
Yes.
Keep asking. And if you had to be, wait a few months, before you launch and try to do more research, do it if you have to. What is the best way to reach you or to find more information about Batch?
You can follow us on Instagram at Batch Cookie Co. We have a live website, so batchcookieco.com. My Instagram is Augie Snacks.
Why is Augie Snacks? Is there a meaning behind it?
Yeah, so my last name's August, so a nickname growing up and even now is Augie. Mm-hmm. And then at a college, I sold ski boots in Park City, Utah. And I actually did more snacking in the back than I did actually selling. So my boss started calling me Snacks. And when I had to create an Instagram, for whatever reason, I just landed on Augie Snacks.
That's why.
Yeah.
It's all kind of coming together.
Yeah, man.
If you do read business books, what is your favorite business book?
The Go-Giver. Hands down, The Go-Giver changed my life. It talks about, at the end of the day, it's not about myself and me. It's what I can do for other people. That's why, I mentioned to you my passion really is mentorship. The real mission of this company is I want to inspire, encourage, educate, work with other entrepreneurs. We've partnered with Junior Achievement, which is a nonprofit in South Florida. I don't know, are you familiar?
No, I don't.
Okay, so their mission is to educate children ages fifth grade to high school about financial literacy, about different employment opportunities. They have an incredible facility right by Broward College where every fifth grader is required to go, called Business Park or BizTown. And they basically are assigned a job for the day, and they work, as CEO of Hoffman's Chocolate or CFO of FP&L. So we've partnered with them because I really think it's right in line with what we want to do. And again, that's one, it really encouraging and educating people about starting your own business.
Ready for some random questions?
Yeah, let's do it.
Which musical artist is musically overrated?
Oh, man, I mean, I don't, is musically overrated? I mean, I'm so not musically inclined, so I don't even know how to answer that.
Are you afraid of sharks?
Absolutely.
Would you rather swim with sharks or alligators?
Do you have a cage?
Nothing. You're on your own.
Probably sharks, so I could overcome that fear.
If you had to spend 1 hour between these three entrepreneurs, Gary Vaynerchuk, Grant Cardone, or Ty Lopez, who would you spend it with?
Gary V, because I think the other two are clowns, but just you and me.
What is your favorite coffee?
It's black coffee or Argyle. They're a partner of ours, local roaster, Manny and Amy, incredible people. I drink their coffee every day.
Which sport is boring to you?
I don't think sports are boring, to be honest with you. I love sports, but baseball probably. And I used to be a huge baseball fan. Big Giants fan, went to all the World Series. But just, it's hard to watch 162 games. And
how much can you bench?
I could definitely bench 225 still, so we'll just leave it at that.
What would you tell your 15-year-old self?
You're going to be okay. Just keep smiling.
What's the worst pet to have?
The worst pet to have? I don't know, a rat, I guess? A mouse?
There you go.
Yeah.
One more time, how can people reach you and find out more about Batch?
Follow us, Batch Cookie Co. My Instagram is Augie Snacks. You can text me, 415-686-2917. I'm happy to work with different entrepreneurs. Advice, lunch, coffee, however I can help. That's really what's important to me.
Any closing words?
No, man, this was cool. I appreciate it. I've never done anything like this. So thank you for providing me the platform. This was cool.
Yeah, no, it's really to interview a new entrepreneur getting started. There were lines in the first month.
Yeah.
When you guys first opened, you had a soft launch and you're opening. There was lines across the building.
Yeah.
I was really surprised and had that moment where I saw other businesses start and you see lines and say, there's so much promise to it. So I'm looking forward to like the next year or years ahead.
Yeah.
Because I think this concept is genius. I watched like the McDonald's story via Netflix. Love those type of stories.
Yes.
Where like new concepts begin and everything. So I like innovation and this is very innovative.
Cool.
And Adam, I appreciate
you
coming on to the podcast.
Appreciate it, man. Thank you for having me.
No problem.